worship team. You appreciate their work and their effort and service toward us. I get to be the recipient of the thanks that goes to you guys, and on the weekends, some Fridays or Saturdays, they do. We have activities on the square, and just being there a couple weeks ago, there was a car show, and people were bragging on you guys and telling me. And then Saturday, there was a motorcycle. It wasn't really a rally, but thunder on the square, right? And I was smart enough to wait till the rain came through. Then I came by, but all the people are in their soaked outfits. But again, somebody was bragging on some people in our congregation. So I'm grateful for that. I want to be known as a church that's worth bragging on, don't you? It's good to be part of this family. I say that. I want to talk about something this morning that is an encouragement. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's also a director. He'll show you what to do. And if the Holy Spirit's a comforter, guess what? You're going to need comfort. If you're going to need comfort, what's that mean? You might have a bad day, right? But if you have a bad day, guess what? There's a comforter, and he's going to come supernaturally. Have you ever been led by the Spirit? Had a gentle leading yesterday, and my wife and I have been laughing about, was I was going to go to a place in Indianapolis, and I just had in the morning before I left, I go, this is the way that Larry takes. Let me holler at Larry real quick. And he goes, no, don't go that way. There's so much construction. Go another way. And so we're just laughing. And you can believe what you believe, but we just believe the Holy Spirit helps us sometimes, even in simple things. And we're laughing all the way. We don't know if it's the Holy Ghost or Larry, but both of them are just really good. He leads, and then sometimes he encourages, right? Because he's going to lead you to do something that might be difficult. And then he'll just encourage you along the way, and then he'll bless you for obedience. And what I want to kind of hit today is an encouragement, and I just want to encourage you as a blesser. And I want you to be looking for, I can't explain anything without a story. I'm just like Jesus. Just read the Bible. He answers questions with a story. There are about four or five friends of mine, and we were running in a parking garage, running down the steps because we're busy, and we had a meeting, we're headed to a meeting. Anybody ever been running because you had a meeting? Nobody? Y'all too old to run now? How does it work? Okay, I want you to wait a minute. I want you to think back decades ago. Does anybody remember when they could run? And you remember being, yeah, there you go. And you remember being busy going to a meeting. Anyway, we're running down in a parking garage, and we get to the bottom, one of the guys on our team isn't there. And everybody's looking around and said, where's Joe? I'm gonna call him Joe. Where's Joe? And they go, one of the other guys goes, there was a lady as we were running by her that had a stroller. In the stroller was a baby, and it was a mom in a stroller trying to get the baby down the steps. And somebody said, I bet Joe has stopped to help that mom. And so we're kind of, where's Joe? Where's Joe? We need to get to the meeting. Come on. In a minute, here comes Joe. Joe, where you been, man? Come on. And guess what Joe said? I was helping the mom get down the steps, right? And let me interpret that. Is that there were five Christians that ran by the mom. Okay, five Christians recognized the mom when we ran by her. One of them said, Joe's a real Christian. He'll probably help her, right? But what he was saying is, let me give you a word. He was saying, I'm a keeper. Remember last week when we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan? What are the three kinds of people in life? Do you remember what they are? Takers, keepers, givers, right? What does a taker say? What's yours is mine if I can get it. Anybody know any? I have a friend that when he starts talking, I just automatically put my hand on my wallet. You're a friend, but I know you. You are a hustler and a shy. Anybody got any friends like that? Yeah, I'm just trying to see if you guys know the same friends I got, okay? Now, for real, there are some people that their kind of philosophy in life is if you got it and I can get it, that's called a taker. What's yours is mine if I can get it. You remember what we said that a keeper was? What's mine's mine. What's mine's is mine's, and you can't have it, right? What's my mind? And so when we were running down the parking lot to get to our meeting, what we said about the mama with the baby in the stroller, potential tragedy, what we said is, what's mine's mine, you can't have it. What's mine's mine, you can't. I got time, my time's my time, and I need to get about what I'm doing. Anybody know any keepers? Anybody know any stingy people? Anybody know anybody that was raised in the Depression? I always used to tease my grandpa. My grandpa had a third grade education, died with hundreds of thousands of dollars of assets. He never paid a bank one dime of interest in his whole life. Ever. My grandfather never paid interest in his whole life. He paid cash for cars. He paid cash for houses. And he is the tightest single individual I had ever known in my life. My grandpa used to tell jokes, and he'd say, I'm so tight that anybody ever heard of Vienna sausages? My grandpa would say, I tie a string on it, let one of my kids swallow it, pull it out, give it to the next one, and give it to the next one. No. But my grandpa, this is great wisdom. He said, son, it's not how much money you make in life, it's how much money can you keep. Huh? And there's some value to being a keeper. There's a value to being a saver. There's some value to valuing what God gives me, looking at it with some integrity and keeping it. But some people, their lifestyle is, you do your work, I'll do mine. You get your stuff, I'll get mine. You can't have what I have. And on that day, though some of us were, all of us were Christians, with the lady in the parking lot, what we were saying, we're busy. I'm a keeper. My New Testament professor said, when he was in college, that might have been 1837 or something like that. He said when he was in college, there was a professor that taught the book of Luke, and now the students were having a test on the book of Luke. And outside on the sidewalk into the building where they were being tested was a drunk. A drunk and preachers, they don't mix, right? And the drunk was trying to get some money. He smelled like alcohol. He said, he's trying to get some money off the preachers. He said, if somebody could just give me a ride. They're running by him. No, I got to take a test. I'll make a long story short. I can make a short story long, but I'm going to reverse it. And they all got in. And the professor walked in with the test, and he hit the shuffled papers. And he said, did anybody help the guy outside? And every one of the preachers said, no. And he said, every one of you failed the test for the semester. And here's what he says. The book of Luke says, do what Jesus says. And the book of Luke is about a man that didn't have time that helped a man that was in need. And none of you preachers that have been studying the Bible had enough time to help a man that needed help. And every one of you failed. I'm glad I didn't have that guy. Huh? Oh, whoops. Maybe I do. Huh? Maybe I do. So Jesus tells the story. And we go, if I'm not a taker, I'm a hero. And Jesus goes, the hero is not the taker, nor is it the keeper, the hero in Jesus' story was the giver. Yeah. And you guys are. I get reports back all the time about how good our people. I'm just patting us on the back. My arm's a little tired today, but no, for real. So here's my goal this morning. It'll be real short, no more than an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. Here's my goal this morning, because I know if you have your heart open to give, there's some challenges that are going to happen. I want to encourage us to keep moving, okay? And I hate to give the devil press, but sometimes you just got to talk about the strategies that he uses. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, every lofty thing that lifts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So it's good to know what the devil's doing sometimes, isn't it? And I want to encourage you, as a blesser, you're going, I'm sowing seed. I want you to keep sowing seed, but I want us to be aware. I'm just trying to bless people and praying for them. I'm encouraging. I'm giving something. I'm doing some kind of help to help somebody. I want to encourage us to do that. But as we do that, I want us to understand that there is a resistance against the moving of the goodness of God. Does anybody have a testimony that could be true? I try to do good, and not so good happens toward me. Has anybody got a testimony like that at all? Anybody? I'll plug this illustration in a minute, but I want to give it, and I go, that fits right here. I used to do a food bank, and in the food bank, we gave out about 500 meals a month. That's pretty good. We would invite people in. We would pray for them. Then we would see how many people were in their family. Then we would distribute food to them, and everything was free. And let me tell you, one of the greatest frustrations in the world is this. Every food bank, all of our toilet paper would be stolen every time. This was pre-COVID. It was before the stuff was worth so much, right? And I'm just going to encourage you. Jesus has been taken advantage of a couple of times, because he caused the sun to shine on somebody, and he caused air to be in the earth, and they breathed his air under his sunshine and cursed him. And the next day, the sun came up and the air still flowed. Okay? I'm going to encourage us in just a minute. I want to use that illustration again, where it fits into my talk, to say it is not my objective, or I better be aware that those things can happen, and be aware before they happen, so I'm already ready for it. I know when I do this, the enemy's going to do this, and when he does this, I know how to continue, because the Bible already gave me some wisdom. Is that okay? So I wish all the farmers in the room, if I talk about seed, they're going to go yes, yes, and yes on about three or four of these. And so I'm just going to encourage us. I'm starting. Here's the foundation. There are three kinds of people in life. They are takers, keepers, and givers. If you are a giver, there are attacks from the enemy that are specialized just for givers. Takers and keepers will never have to worry about these problems, okay? And a base that I will use, though I might not go to scripture every time, a base that I will use is Matthew chapter 13. So that'll be later, if you want to, I would encourage you to read the whole from like verse 1 to verse 35 of Matthew 13. I'm going to give you five strategies that the enemy uses when you sow kindness. I sow kindness. Molly, would you mind to bring me that water on that chair right there? Thank you. If everybody wants to bless Molly and clap hands for her, but and I'll tell you why you're doing it. In 48 hours, she'll be seeing her son. He's headed this way. Caleb's coming home from the Middle East, and Mama's happy. Amen. Is that good? Can we just say amen, bless you, Caleb, and all that? Okay. I'm going to show you five times, and the last one was really, really interesting to me. Hang with me to the fifth one. It's important. Five times that when Christ is being good, when God is being good to you, you are being good to someone else. There are critical times that Jesus in Matthew 13 calls him the evil one. He goes, there really is a devil. He's called the evil one. And Jesus picks out a couple of the, in this passage, and there's a couple of other passages that he gives, wisdom. Be aware at this point right here, because when you do this, you're going to attract this. Let me say it a little crass. I have a friend who says it like this. The brighter the lights, the bigger the bugs. He goes, the higher the level, the meaner the devil. Okay, so you're going to do some things and you're going to go, yay, I'm going to attract some blessing on that. And you will. But you might attract, my wife and I, we have these beautiful lights. She bought them, I hung them. No, I bought them, you hung them. No, you bought them and she hung them. And they're around our porch and they are so amazing. And we can turn them on and they have this ambient, romantic, beautiful bug drawing ability that causes us to turn them off and go back in the house. Anybody found that what I'm talking about is true? Okay, so when you bless, and I'm front loading you, I'm warning you, when you bless, the enemy will attack in some particular ways. I want to be aware when God blesses me so that the goodness that God gives to me, I see it be optimal. And when God blesses me, I'm able to bless somebody else. I want to see that blessing be optimal. Does that make manner of sense? So I'm going to tell you number one. Here's number one. When God blesses you or you're blessing someone else, at the seed level, at the very beginning level, the evil one will come and try to snatch that away. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells it in a story because, let me help you with story 1 second. Bottle of water. A lot of people see a bottle of water, and that's the story that's in your mind. There's other people I could ask, and they would see a thermos. Then there's somebody else that will see something else. Somebody else will see something else. So watch what Jesus, whenever Jesus tells a story, there's an individual movie playing in somebody's mind. And so you ask a question, he tells a story. And you'll go, Jesus didn't answer that story. Then a week later, it's for real. You're thinking about the movie that's playing in your mind when Jesus told the story. And you go, oh, I get it now. And it's not that we're stupid, we're just slow. No, for real. So here's what Jesus is going to tell you, a story, so you can get the principle, so you're aware of it. And here's what he said. Every time you sow kindness, it's like a farmer when he sows seed. And he goes, sometimes there is really good seed sown by a really good farmer that a really good crow comes down and grabs the seed and eats the seed, and the seed never performs. Though it's a good seed, a good sower, it's a bad crow. Does that make sense? And so whenever I am blessing, or God is blessing me, at the very end, this wonderful sermon I'm going to preach today, that by the time you get to the parking lot, what can happen is the enemy will come. And I've had this happen so many, many times that on Wednesday, somebody would come to me for counseling about something I said on Sunday. And A, they weren't there, or B, the devil took it before. And it's worse when it's like this. When your wife says on Wednesday, do you remember that you preached that on Sunday? And then you got to go, oops, Crow got that one. Okay? I want to encourage you. At the beginning of sowing is a place of vulnerability. And what the Lord says is, at the beginning level, because here's what I want you to know. If the enemy can get you to stop at the beginning of the thing, it never goes forward. It never gains momentum. Okay? Here's number two. Number one is at the beginning. That's Matthew 13. Let's just read it. Matthew 13, 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Then if you'll look at 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and takes away that which was sown in the heart. Something is sown in my heart, and the enemy, before it can take ground, the Bible says the enemy will come. I know that you've seen that happen to people. Their heart will be open. They're kind of, and then you'll see the enemy take it away. Okay, here's number two. Number one is at the sowing level. Number two is Matthew 24 and 25. And here's what it's going to say. When God sows something, and this is extreme. Listen for 3 minutes, then go back to sleep for 10, okay? Then I'll say something important 10 minutes from now. But elbow your friend, get them to listen for 3 minutes. Okay? And here's what the Bible says, Matthew 13, verse 24. Here's what it says. Every time God sows a seed, the enemy comes to sow a competing seed. He goes, God sows a seed, and the enemy goes, oh, that one right there, let me snatch that one away before it takes ground. Okay? B, let me sow a competing seed. This is interesting. In 1970, anybody here during the 70s? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. No, okay. A lot of us were here in the 70s. Do you know, this is astounding, 1970, that every day there was about 500 times that someone tried to market you. 1970, 500 times a day when we were walking uphill both ways to high school in the snowstorm, okay? There were 500 times by the time I was in kindergarten, some of you guys were graduating, okay? We were in 1970, from the time you woke up in the morning until you went to bed at night, there were about 500 times someone tried to market you. Anybody have any idea what it's like today? When you wake up in the morning till you go to bed at night in 2025, depending on how much you use social media, you will be marketed over 10,000 times. If you were born in 1920, by the time you were at the end of your life, the amount of times you had been marketed, and you were born in 2025, 1 month in 2025, you are marketed more than the guy that was born in 1920 was in his whole life. From the time he was born till the time he dies in June, you were marketed more than he was in his whole life. Have a question. Do you think there is distraction to keep you from the things God has sown in your life. I'm just talking about marketing. I'm not talking about all the other stuff. Let's not talk about grandma taking her 2 hours to wash and it taking me 2 minutes. Let's not talk about that. Let's just talk about, and all of the distraction. Huh? And I want to tell you, I'm not against everything, but I'm just going to say this. It is a strategy of the enemy, A, to steal it, two, to bring distraction. Okay? He just goes, I'll just sow other seeds. Seed of God. Now, okay. He goes, that's not a problem. Let me just throw some more seeds there. Okay? Number three, don't steal it. Okay? Distract. Number three is choke it out. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 13. Whenever somebody, God gives you something, God's blessed me, I'm moving forward in it. I call it the Pharaoh assignment. All of a sudden, everything else will come up and it will choke out the thing God has planted in my life. Those of us live for more than 3 or 4 years, we found that to be true. Huh? He goes, and Jesus will tell you what it is. He's smart like that. He goes, it's the cares of this world and it's the deceitfulness of riches. Now, everybody in this room, if we were to compare ourselves with people Jesus is talking to, we have riches compared to what they're talking about. Because what riches does, it creates opportunities that I can do other stuff. And now all of a sudden I'm distracted. And now the other thing becomes very important other than the thing God sowed. Does that make sense? And so God's blessed me, and there's a blessing. And the enemy come try to steal it, A, or he brings a distraction, or other things become so important. Anybody remember when God told Moses, hey, Mo, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go? Huh? And Pharaoh said, okay, bless the name of the Lord. If Yahweh told you, well, okay, y'all can go. Does anybody remember what Pharaoh did? Anybody read the Bible? No, Mo, they can't go. Okay, then what after that? After he said, no, Mo, they can't go, what did he say? What did he say? Yeah, he said, y'all too busy thinking about this God thing that the, what was it, Brenda? We used to give you guys straw to make brick, but you guys are too busy thinking about God. Let me tell you what. I want the same amount of brick, but what? Now you cut the straw. Where do you think that strategy came from? It wasn't Pharaoh being smart. It was the devil being the devil. And I promise you, anytime you start moving toward the things of God, the other things, the cares of this world, that means just trying to get by in life, and the deceitfulness of riches will choke out what God does when he deposits a blessing. Now let me, anybody, could you just raise your hand and say, yep, that happened to me one time? Anybody just go, yep, that happened to me one time? Come. All the rest, y'all, get your hands up. Okay, no, for real. So don't be discouraged when you bless somebody and that is the way they act. Don't be discouraged by that. Go, this is not just natural. This is the enemy. He works the same way everywhere all the time. If he was doing it way back in Pharaoh's day, he's doing it today. Okay? So, Jim, what'll happen? He'll try to steal it. Then it will be just all kinds of things. And then it would you're just busy. And then it will be choking it out. Okay? Now here's going to become the most important thing that I have. Number four point is the most important point. To encourage people. This is just a pastor encouraged sermon, okay? To encourage people to keep blessing even though people don't receive it well. Does that make sense? And I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you 3 points. I could give you 20. I could give you 100. I'm going to give you 3. One is when you are blessing people, point one, they won't thank you. And if you're in 20th century, 21st century America, you have ran into something called entitlement, and people will feel like you owe it to them to help them. I'm not being political, I'm just being Christian, okay? Now, let me put a point to it. He steals it, okay? And then there is the make you busy, the deceiving, and then there is the choking out. And now, when he hit this point, it's going to be the main point I hit. I'll give you another one and say amen. Is the enemy contaminates blessing. God will bless you. The enemy will steal it, point one. And then he will tell you how bad God is because God didn't bless you. God didn't take care of me. He goes, no, the enemy stole it, right? Nobody's mad at the devil. They're mad at God. God goes, no, it was a good seed. I planted it right there. Yep, crow took it. Huh? And now what the enemy will do is contaminate you toward God and you toward somebody else. Molly made cookies and didn't give me one. Daggone it. And man, am I mad at Molly. Then I come home at the end of the day, daggone it, Jude stole them. It didn't have anything to do with Molly at all. It was Jude stole the cookies, right? And what the enemy does is he steals it, and then he contaminates your mind toward other people and toward God. You go, how will that happen? A is people won't be grateful, okay? And then, this is the big one. This gets me. When I'm about to preach, I'm going to be in a tent evangelist and go, this makes me mad. Is the devil does it with God toward us, and he also does it with people to people. Is you do something good, it's with good intention. Anybody ever had this happen? And the people will say, it was with bad intention, and it was not a good thing. They will call your good evil, and then they will condemn you for doing the good. Anybody ever? And it's like they won't thank you, A. Then B, they'll take advantage of you. They'll steal your toilet paper when you're trying to give them some chicken. We had a person halfway through when we are having food bank, halfway through, I had an assigned person go make sure we have some toilet paper because they are still. And I go, not only are you not being grateful, you're taking advantage. And not only are you taking advantage, watch this. You're not only taking advantage, you are also turning it around and making the good look bad. Now, let me tell you what happened with that. All three of those, I won't take time. I'm wrap up the plane here. All three of those will cause the person that was giving to stop giving. Because they'll go, A, Melissa wasn't grateful when I blessed her. And then I tried Dan, and he stole from me. And then I tried Dennis, and he cursed me for blessing him. I ain't never blessing anybody again. You see, how about if God was like that? Daggone Hitler? If Hitler's just going to be like that, I ain't never giving anybody air again, ever in my life. Right? Because, helpful, is God does not bless because the people deserve it. God blesses because of who he is. And now he goes, let me bring a kingdom and a life into a people that can live under my ways, my methodology, my lifestyle, in order that I can bless them, that they can bless others. So, anybody ever been discouraged? Can I have a hand if you have been? You've ever been discouraged because you did right, somebody condemned you wrong for it. Or they just, isn't that a tough one? They just weren't grateful, and you go, well, if they're going to be like that, I ain't helping them again. You've had that happen. And watch, Sometimes we get mad at the person, but I want you to see today from the scripture that the enemy can get involved in that. He steals, huh? Then he distracts, then he chokes out, then he contaminates. Give you one more. Let me just mention it. There's a funny way I want to say it. I want to end with it, and I want to pray over it, and I want to pray over us that if some. Here's number five. The enemy steals when something is at the beginning, and the enemy steals when something's at the end. He steals at seed time, and he steals at harvest time. There are 193 ites in the Bible. Anybody remember reading them? Anybody read your Bible through? Do you remember reading any ites? Amorites, Malachites, Hittites, I call them the Perizzites. The parasites, it's P-R-E-Z, Perizzites. I just call them the parasites. And the Amorites and the Ammonites and the otherites and the thisites and the thatites and the Midianites. You guys remember the Midianites? Anybody remember the Midianites? This is a guy named, what was his name? Gideon. And what was Gideon doing? He's out hiding in the barn with a hammer so people can't hear him, beating out some wheat so he can get the wheat so that the ites that are walking around can't take his wheat that's inside his barn. Why? Because the ites always attack at harvest time. That's very interesting. Why would an ite take a field that the field needs to be worked? That'd be stupid. So what the ite said is, you go ahead and work the field. When you get the field worked and you get the grain in the barn, now we're going to come and take your stuff because we're going to let you do the work to get the stuff in the barn. So right there in the Bible, it's about seven times. You just take the Bible and read it, and you could do this. At the time of harvest, just Google that in, and you will find the ites attack at the time of harvest. I found that out as a pastor. You get somebody trained up, you get a worker, and they're just ready to go. What do they do oftentimes? Off to another church. And you go, that was a devil right there. Here's where we raise our kids in the way of the Lord. They leave to go to college or off to work, and here come the ites. Huh? And the ites attack at the time of harvest. And people will go, oh my goodness, where's God? And God will go, I want you to know that the enemy comes at seed time. The enemy, whenever God sows a seed, the enemy will sow distracting, competing seeds. Now, I'm so distracted and it's competing that then I'm off on something, just cares of this world, just trying to live, get through life. And now all of a sudden that care will choke out the thing the Lord planted. And then he goes, with deception and power, the enemy will corrupt blessing that came from the Lord. He goes, and then he'll wait for it to grow, mature, get bigger, get better, and right at harvest time, come in and steal it. And if that's all I had to say, then we would have a depressing day and we'd go home and it'd be a bad week. But here's what the Bible says. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he has given us his name. He has given us his word. He shed his blood for us, that by the shedding of that blood we have victory that is in Christ, that he empowers us by his Spirit to move in the things that come from God, for God, that others will see our good work and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. You like Matthew 13? I like Matthew 13. Sometimes I have to remind myself. Some of our deacons are here. A guy told me one time, he was a deacon from another church. He goes, well, here's what I know. Pastors are prayed to be good, but deacons are just good for nothing. And sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm just being good for nothing. But it's really not true. The sowing that we are doing under the hand of the Lord has a reciprocal return for his glory. And so this morning, I just encouraging us, beware of these. Don't be tripped up by these things. And be blessed. Okay, let's stand together. That's good enough. I'm gonna let our worship team come. I'm gonna do a particular prayer I wanna do. Shoo away the birds. May there be a breaking down of the tares. May there be a loosening of the bonds for the grace of God that's been given to us and that we've sown. May there be full maturity, development, and fruitfulness. Lord, your promise is that there will be fruitfulness throughout life for those that put their hope and their trust in you. This morning, Lord, as we stand before you as a people, I pray that every attack of darkness, and where you said the evil one has come, that's what you said, that you would break that power. I'm asking that you would release encouragement, that you would release strength, that you would release power to accomplish all that you've designed. Lord, may others see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We stand before you this morning, praying for those in this room that need your life to be imparted into them. We pray that you would bring health to sickness, that you would bring direction to darkness, that you would lay before us the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that you would lead us into the future that you've designed for us. Lord, I know just it's a cultural thing, it's a me thing, it's an us thing, that there's so many distractions from that which you direct and design, that we pray that you would make it clear where the distractions are, and that that which you have given us, that we would grow it, give life to it, that you may be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.